Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We are a couple of minutes late due to technical difficulties here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, but we made it on. We're live streaming again, as we do. Looks like about every 2 weeks right now. We haven't set up any kinds of schedule, but every couple of weeks, right? We check in with our dear friend, Pat Noble, Red Bank School Board member and National Socialist Party co-chair. Just got back from. Not anymore.
I want to say that differently than what
Okay. So let's get in. We didn't talk about that, but we will. We will, man. I want to hear about that. Yeah. But if you look behind me here, we have a whiteboard, which I'm very excited about. We're organizers. Me and Pat are both organizers, and we love whiteboards and easels that we can write things on. They're good for collaboration, right? Yeah. I mean, this is a good tool. So you can see I put what the fuck and slash NJ. And then underneath is the important part. We're thanking Lynn. Lynn Petrovich went online. She went to www.njrevolutionradio. She chipped in a few dollars, and we're thanking her because she's a comrade. And that's the kind of stuff we need. Right, Pat?
Yep. Lynn, you're the best.
She is. She is. They're both the Petroviches. We love them. They're great people. They've done a lot of good work in the activist community, and so that's cool. You know, and this is how we want to do it, right? We are kind of rolling out a little bit of a business end of NJRR right now because we got to pay the bills, we got to keep the lights on, and I'm one being from a union background. You got to believe that labor should be paid for, and right now nobody here is getting paid. Pat comes on here out of the goodness of his heart. You know, our production assistant works as a volunteer, so you know I think that we should be able to grow a lot better and get better reporting done, because I'd like to do a little more field reporting. That costs gas money, and that, you know, these things got to happen. And we do have plans for when we get the money to expand NJRR. We got big dreams, but we need everybody chipping a couple of bucks every month, and we appreciate Lynn for being one of the early donors. Pat, how are you? You are back from the National Socialist Convention, so you're not the co-chair anymore.
No, you know, you misunderstood why I was saying don't say it like that.
Okay, let me just shut up and let you explain what's going on with your own party.
Maybe we just go with Socialist Party nationally, which is very different than the phrasing you're using.
Okay, I apologize. I am sorry to all my socialists.
Now you know where I'm going with that.
Go ahead.
just got back from the organizing conference in Montgomery, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great weekend. Party members from throughout the country were there. And you were at the last one in New Jersey 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great time.
You gave a great speech, dropped a lot of F-bombs, which was great. Everyone loved that. So this year we did it down in, it was the highlight.
Right.
This year we did it down in Alabama.
Yes.
Cause we've, really great party locals down there. Ran a dozen or so workshops throughout the weekend.
Cool. And as far as leadership goes now, where there's a leader, is there some leadership change that goes on at your convention, or do you election separately?
That'll be next year.
Next year. Okay.
Yeah. So. Next year.
All right. Well, cool, man. So what, now that you're here back in New Jersey, back in the great nation of New Jersey, What language do they speak in? Was it Alabama? You said.
Yeah. No. I can understand it. You know, there's a lot more F bombs up here.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot more snarkiness in the way we say things.
Right. Yeah.
That was a fantastic time.
Yeah.
Something about being on the train though, coming in from New York. As soon as you cross over into Secaucus, it's like.
Trees everywhere, trees. It's an Always Sunny callback, which you will hear on the show from time to time. If you don't understand all of our jokes, we don't care because it's funny to us. That's the important part. So, Pat, what the fuck is going on in Trenton lately?
Well, it seems to be quiet ever since they were Murphy and Sweeney were done beating each other up over the budget.
Yes.
As everyone knows, they averted the shutdown in the last hour by pretty much giving Steve Sweeney everything that he wanted.
Everything, huh?
Pretty much everything. Murphy got, at least on paper, he got the millionaire's tax increase, but it's only on people who are making $5 million or more instead of $1 million, which is what he wanted.
Is that
so he cut out a lot of people?
Is that the whole deal? Was their tax raised? Was it like a graduated tax? Like they went from $1 million to $5 million? Or did they just start the tax at $5 million?
No, they started it at $5 million. Right now, I believe it's just shy of 9%.
Right.
For everyone up there. And Murphy wanted to raise it to 10.75% for everyone who was making over $1 million.
Yes.
But the great Steve Sweeney was able to get that up to $5 million.
Now, Steve Sweeney. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He's a Democrat and likes defending people who.
Yes.
Who can make a couple of $1 million a year, unlike the state workers that he tried to throw under the bus at the end of the budget negotiations, where out of nowhere he comes in and says, hey, I want cuts to health care and benefits.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He's always going to throw that in because he hates them. I mean, it's basically it. I mean, he hates public worker unions and he's going to, any chance he gets to drag him into something and punch him in the face, he's going to do it. Now, Steve Sweeney has, of course, always been against the millionaire's tax, right?
Well, when Chris Christie was in office, they passed a millionaire's tax in some version, I think 5 different times. But it was different back then, you know, you could pass it and, you know, it was the same thing with, when we were talking about the minimum wage increase.
Yes.
They could pass it, didn't matter because Christie was going to veto it. So they could pass it and score points and act progressive. And when they finally have Phil Murphy, who, you know, even though he's a lot of problems, actually seemed interested in doing something on some of these issues, they have no interest in taking it up. You know, they didn't want to do the millionaire's tax. They definitely have no interest in recreational marijuana, so that seems to be off the table right now.
Yeah, it's really hard to get to.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody in New Jersey literally has to walk feet in order to get a bag of weed.
Yeah.
It's almost
impossible. Yeah. don't get me wrong, but part of that is Murphy's fault because he's sort of divorced from reality when it comes to what these things should look like.
Yeah.
Like on marijuana, for example, he's talking about a 25% excise tax.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So we're going to
sell it in the store. We're going to have a 25% tax on it, and we're going to pretend people are going to buy it. They're not going to buy it from whoever the fuck they've been buying it from this whole time.
Exactly. It's going to be good for our local economies. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, by local economies, I mean the people that are selling marijuana right now already.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's sort of where we left it with the budget. Now, Murphy more or less caved on everything. He got a version of the millionaire's tax so we can hold something up. But it seems like the second budget year in a row that, you know, Steve Sweeney walks away as the victor.
It's going to be hard to beat him. It looks like he's got the legislature pretty well wrapped up, which is pretty pathetic when you think of it. You know, which is pretty pathetic that you basically, you know, you had a governor that won, right? I mean, regardless of the fact that, you know, like 10% of people in the state voted for him or whatever it is when you dial the numbers down. But, you know, he did win. And then you seemingly have, you know, Norcross. And I go past Sweeney. I think that Norcross is, of course, giving permission for all this stuff. They don't care about the people.
When Christie was around, they could at least make the argument that it was, you know, Democratic legislature versus Republican governor. A lot of that was bullshit because they got along better with him than they seemed to be getting along with Bill Murphy. Right. But now that they have someone from their own party in office, all Sweeney seemed interested in doing is kneecapping the guy.
It's personal. He was supposed to be the governor. He was supposed to be the governor, and he's never going to forgive Phil Murphy for swooping in and buying that election. And it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if state workers lose their health care. And it doesn't matter if me and my kids don't have anything to eat. Nobody cares. It's all about Steve Sweeney and George Norcross, and they didn't get their way. And, you know, these Democrats out there with that Trump baby, you know, they should maybe Steve Sweeney should look at maybe Steve Sweeney baby.
Yeah.
They're bringing the Trump baby. The liberals are bringing. They raised like $8 million in 30 seconds to bring the Trump baby to North Jersey. That's money well spent. Why not buy a Sweeney baby? I think that would be. Listen, liberals, we're spying. You can have that idea. We don't have any money. I'm barely able to afford a whiteboard. If you've got money for a Trump baby, you've got money for a Sweeney baby. Right?
Yep, maybe Phil Murphy can take the money that he's not going to be paying in the new millionaire's tax and spend it on and spend it on the Sweeney baby.
I'm sure he'll find good use for his sake. He's a charitable man when he wants to win public office.
Yes.
All right, so on the whiteboard, I write what we were supposed to talk about. That's why I like this whiteboard. All right, so.
This isn't just a promo board. You're doing like a Glenn Beck thing now. You're back there writing
Does
on
Glenn
the board.
Does Glenn Beck do this? Oh, Jesus Christ. I didn't know. Well, I know.
But back when he had his Fox News show before he fell out with them.
You're right. I was thinking Chris Matthews. They all do it. All the cable. Well, they have the nice graphics. Yeah. You know, they'll have the agenda and a nice little graphic on the side of the computer. Yeah. Yeah, it's this is NJRR, you know, I mean, these guitars don't even have strings on them. Seriously, they don't. Just like,
those for props?
These are props to make me look like I'm cool. Yeah. I don't play an instrument. Okay. I didn't even know what these were. I thought this was an oboe. Mm-hmm. Seriously. So, anyway. That's all I got. You know, it's how you do it. When you're poor, man, you just grab shit later on. I remember when I first moved into the house, we found like light fixtures made out of coffee cans. And I was young and I was like laughing, like, look at this idiot fix a light fixture with a coffee can. But now I get it. His light was broken. He had a coffee can.
Yeah, with me. He got the cool pop shirt on, so that's something.
I do. I haven't been to a pop meeting in like 2 years. I'm going next week. I'm a temporary bachelor next week. That's all. No, yeah, a whole nother story. So I'm going to try and make pop next week. Okay. Getting back to the budget. Also, we talked about the plastic bag ban, which actually failed. It did fail, which was nice to see because it was just a stupid law.
I thought it was waiting for Murphy to sign. They didn't pass at all?
He didn't sign it, apparently.
Well, he's got a month to. He didn't veto. He's got a month to. Take it out.
Well, I'm hearing it's not going through. That's what I'm hearing, you know, because I talked about a program. A friend of mine saw me outside the State House the other day, and they're like, oh, you know, the bag bans, it's not going to happen. So whether he vetoed it or whether he's just going to say never sign it, I don't know. But it's a terrible bill anyway, so back up on that.
It's goofy as fuck. It's, you know, 5 cents a bag. You know, towns that you want to ban plastic bags altogether would not have been allowed to under that bill. They would have had to, you know, keep plastic bags and charge the tax.
It's
what it's all about, though, right? You know, we're going to pretend to be environmentalists so we can get some more tax revenue in there.
It was, and I'm hearing that behind the scenes, it was the plastic bag people like writing the bill. there's a plastic bag lobby.
Yeah.
It's peak capitalism, man. Can't make that shit up, right? Anything in the news? I think there was an article that we wanted to bring up.
It was actually reading. Just a laugh at it to bring it up.
Of course.
I don't think it's serious. But there was an article on Star Ledger on NewJersey.com last week.
Right.
2 weeks ago, making the case that Phil Murphy appears to be positioning himself for a presidential run.
Oh.
The idea being that he's just going down a checklist of tackling, you know, seemingly progressive causes while simultaneously, you know, because he's a Wall Street guy. So the idea is that he would be like, something for everyone. Like he's tackling progressive issues, but he's also a Wall Street banker, so we can get the Hillary folks on board.
Yeah.
And of course, it was all speculative, but
right. It is. Do you have? Are you looking at that article now?
I do not have it in front of me.
Okay, because I'm wondering if I was looking while you were talking there to see if I could post it. We'll post it. You know, most people watch this after the fact anyway. So, I mean, but he was, I mean, this makes perfect sense. I would totally believe it because, I mean, this dude was running for governor 3 or 4 years before he ran for governor. I mean, he was in the state setting up nonprofits and, you know, weeding his way in. So, you know, with a presidential election, you know, they'll be announcing candidates next year, I guess, right? Yeah. I mean, they start these campaigns.
Probably before that, midterms are, you know, a couple months and usually it starts right around then.
You got a lot of resume pen to do. He's only been, I mean, not even just, that he's inexperienced as hell, but he never held public office. This is the first public office he's ever held in his life. Now, I'm sure he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. But Jesus Christ, any job takes a little time to learn. And you're talking about governor.
He got to kick it in Berlin for a couple of years because he raised a bunch of money for Obama. I think he was like a DNC finance chair at one point.
Yeah, yes, he was. And he's got Goldman Sachs backing him. So they'll be like, put him in because we'll just tell him what to do.
That's the only experience we care about in the end.
But in the end, aren't they all just puppets anyway? So it's like, it's just Goldman Sachs telling him what to do. So it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I mean, it's Goldman Sachs telling him what to do or Hillary what to do or Bernie what to do or whatever. I don't know if Bernie would listen.
That would be interesting, though, because, you know, Cory Booker seems to be on the short list of people who are, you know, at least preparing to run. So you have two New Jersey guys duking it out.
That's always fun to watch. I mean, if he goes up against Cory Booker and knocks him out of the race, man, he's burnt every political bridge there is to burn in New Jersey.
Yeah.
He'll be on the show with us.
maybe he can pay for strings for the guitars.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. He might be able to buy me a real oboe.
That sounds nice.
All right. We had another incident down in South Jersey. We don't talk too much about South Jersey other than George Norcross. But we have a fascinating race in CD2 there. There is you have Jeff Van Drew, who is pro-gun.
We've talked about quite a bit. Yeah.
Right, pro-gun, pro-NR, I guess A plus NR rating, and endorsements for Mont Demand Action. probably one of the most conservative members of our state Senate, and he's a Democrat. I mean, so he's running. Lobiondo, who's been in that seat for a long time, who campaigned on only doing two terms for Congress like 20 years ago. Yes, it's true. True story. So Lobiondo sticks down. And then the Republicans find this guy, Seth Grossman, who doesn't seem to understand that it's not 1850s era anymore.
No.
He said some terrible things. And I guess the straw that broke the camel's back was some kind of article that he tweeted. Were you aware of this?
Yeah, he's like tweeting out white nationalist articles. I guess they have him on record. I don't know if it's a recording or a quote or what it is, but they have him on record saying that, quote, the whole idea of diversity is a bunch of crap and un-American.
Yes.
So he's just like even for, you know, New Jersey Republicans, you know, conservative Republicans, he's peddling like this far right bullshit, which in New Jersey, like our conservatives are moderates in other parts of the country. So especially for New Jersey Republicans to peddle this kind of bullshit.
I mean,
and, you know, really putting people by surprise.
So now when he retweeted, right, written by somebody else claiming to be a public defender in a large southern metropolitan area. And now, so he didn't actually say this, but he tweeted this out and the article read. And this is,
what does that mean?
Look,
I didn't write it, so it's fine.
No.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to warn people listening. This is really offensive stuff, so I'm not. I brace you if you're not in the mood to be offended. Please just click skip right now or tune out. This is what this fucking thing said. Yeah. Listen to this. This is horrible. Blacks are different by almost any measure of other people. They cannot reason well. They cannot communicate well. They cannot control their impulses well. They are a threat to all that cross their paths, black and non-black alike. I mean, gee, this isn't even like in the realm of sanity. This is straight Nazi propaganda.
Yeah.
And this guy's running for Congress.
Bearing in mind, as the nominee of his party, not as some flaky asshole that runs in the primary, because you get them all the time.
Yeah,
and they get a bunch of votes and they leave. This is a guy that won the primary and it was contested. There were a handful of candidates in there. All they were all legitimate candidates running real campaigns. So they chose this guy.
He's too racist for the Republican Party, and that's saying something.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Right. This is a party, and I bet you, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, I bet you if we look at his district, they were a Trump district. I put my money on that.
Yeah.
And so these are the same people that voted in Donald Trump, who said that Mexicans are bringing in drugs and diseases, and this guy's too racist for that crowd. Wow, man. That party's got, I don't even understand it anymore. It's surreal. I mean, we harp on the Democratic Party more because I see them as tolerating this nonsense, right? I see them as, you know, they want to compromise. They want to be centrists they want, and honestly, so what we, you know, when our critique of the Democratic Party comes across as these are the guys they want to bargain with.
Yeah, but this is also their fault. I mean, for all the people that, you know, that voted for Trump, but, you know, they're allowing these people to come out of the woodwork, come out in the open and act like this. You know, they've always been this, you know, this racist, this right wing, but now they feel open enough, like they have their own little safe space where they can come out and be just blatantly racist, not like subtly racist, not just generally conservative, come out and be just blatantly racist.
Yeah, it's true. And I've tried to get this through to some people in my personal life that are pro-Trump, you know, and that they admire him for the tough talk. They admire him for, you know, sounding like their buddies in the locker room, you know, and that's, there's this working class appeal to that, which I get and I kind of use myself. But what I keep telling them is, listen, he's not your buddy in the locker room, though. He's not a guy on a left-wing podcast. He's the president of the United fucking States, man. And you can't stir up racist shit like that and expect the country to remain safe. It's just not going to be safe for so many people because of that. And this Seth Grossman guy, yeah, you're right, is a symptom of that larger disease. Trump's in trouble with his base now because he just spoke against the FBI and the CIA. I mean, I've seen the liberal take on that is so fascinatingly.
They're just having like a collective breakdown at this point. But they don't get it either, right?
For all the
plain talking bullshit that people use to defend their support of Trump.
Right.
The Democrats' response is to talk about running people like Cory Booker.
Yes.
So they're not even like a, you know, the viable alternative waiting in the wings. They still don't have a fucking clue why they lost the last election, which is why they're gearing up to lose the next one.
About once a month, you see the article pop up that Hillary Clinton should run again. I mean, these fucking people are out of their minds. I mean, there's no, you're talking about making the same mistake twice. I mean, they're literally article out there once a month or so. Hillary Clinton's going to run. Hillary Clinton should run. Hillary, you know, got screwed in the election. I mean, come on. You're going to do the same thing, man. Mm-hmm. They don't like Hillary Clinton in this country anymore than they did when she just got trounced by this maniac. And, you know, so you're right. They don't put up this whole resistance thing is on my nerves. And the call out of the Democrats in Congress.
Even if you don't, you know, like one of the big things right now is, you know, separating families at the border, which is, you know, been ruled against. But now the whole thing's like abolish ICE. And if you look at like these progressive Democrats, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about reforming ICE. They're talking about maybe getting rid of it, but rolling it into, like the INS or something like that. So even when they have the opportunity, you know, even when they have an opportunity to take a legitimate stance on a, you know, progressive issue, they walk away from it.
Guy I was talking to.
They're peddling center right politics and trying to tell us that there's something left about it.
Ran into a guy at a thing, a little organizing thing. He had an abolish ICE t-shirt on. And I started talking to him and I said, you know, it's hard. And he said, there's a problem. Because we have to do something with the people that are housed there, right? This is the problem, right? So they're housed in a jail. They're in a jail. We were talking specifically about the Essex County Detention Center up north. And he said, they're housed in a jail up there. And if we close down that jail, where do they go? Legitimate question. I said, well, they could stay there. Why don't they take the barbed wire down and take, you know, or give them, there's plenty of foreclosed homes. Give them one of those. Give them a place to stay and treat them like a human being. And he said, well, you know, there's talk of maybe, you know, letting them out during the day and giving them ankle monitors. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're people. They're not your goddamn pets. Let them go out and shop. Let them go find their kids wherever the hell they are. And his comment back to me was, serious, remember what shirt he had on? Well, ICE isn't going to let them do that. But that's why you have the fucking shirt on that says abolish ICE.
Yeah.
You know, it's maddening to me. And this guy has clearly got sloppy politics. But, you know, the idea that we could just let them go and treat them like people somehow befuddles liberals that we need this security state, just not the way Trump's doing.
But they don't understand that. All they understand is, you know, we have to flip the House. We have to, you know, take the House. We have to get more seats in the Senate. We have to get Trump out of office. We're not going to tell you what we're going to do when we get there. And when we get there, all we're going to say is we have to stay here.
They're going to do the same thing. They're going to do the same thing for different contractors. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. So I don't want to hear anything about how we have to elect Democrats, progressive Democrats. Oh, you know, they're a Democrat, but they're also a socialist. No, they're a fucking Democrat. If you are in the Democratic Party, you are responsible for them. You know, I'm a Democrat, but I don't like Nancy Pelosi. I don't like Hillary. No, you're a fucking Democrat.
You're a you're even harder core than me on this. You know that I bent a little bit for Bernie. And I'll admit, I had some moments of weakness with AOC.
Yeah.
She's charismatic. She's a decent speaker. But then the comments about Palestine.
And she's also one of the ones that said we need to get rid of ICE, but then reform the INF to work it in there.
I think that's what happens, and
I'm in the Socialist Party, so my views on this are a little more. A little more rigid or clear.
I don't
care if you call yourself a socialist.
Right.
If you do not have the politics to back it up, shut the fuck up and get out of the way for the people who are actually socialists and are actually pushing socialist ideas.
There's been some co-opting of the name. There has been.
Otherwise, you're doing a disservice to yourself, a disservice to all the people you're pretending to help, and a disservice to all the people who are supporting you. If you want to be a Democrat, go be a fucking Democrat. If you want to call yourself a progressive, go be a fucking progressive. But if you want to call yourself a socialist, fucking act like it.
I've been calling myself a communist more and more. And I don't know whether I'm actually a communist or whether I just like to be edgy.
So, it's probably both.
Probably.
But
I just don't want to be lumped in with all these fucking people. Can you blame me? I don't want to be lumped in with these people.
Yeah, communist from Raleigh. That sounds pretty good.
I'm from Avenel.
Oh, you know, it's close.
It's right next door. Yeah. Love my comrades over there in Raleigh. Man. All right. Well, I think we got through everything on my whiteboard agenda here.
Yeah.
We got anything else, Pat? Anything coming up? What are you doing next week? I'm going to be a temporary bachelor. I mentioned that earlier. I only have so much vacation time. Yeah. I only have so much vacation time. About once a year, my wife and family go on a little vacation without me. I sit home, and I'm going to cry a lot if I sit home. So I'm going to try and get out to some meetings.
They all go and they leave you behind? Or is this like a Home Alone thing, like with a grown adult?
Yes.
How does this work?
You ever seen the Tom Cruise movie where he put those old records off the shelf? And he runs out in his underwear, and it's very similar.
Yeah.
Very
similar. Okay. So it's like that meets Home Alone.
Exactly. So I'm looking for some meetings to go to. I want to keep myself busy. Okay. I want to keep myself out before I come home and I eat my dinner over the kitchen sink like every other bachelor does. Yeah. What's going on? You got anything coming up, man?
We're all sort of winding down from the conference from this past weekend. I actually got home about 3:00 this morning. So I think we're just sort of winding down. I know we've the Labor Day parade. That's not for a couple of months. Let me know if you want to put something together. I'm sure we can get some, some comrades stayed around.
Maybe we'll do. We'll do a little NJR thing. I don't know. Oh, you know what? And I forgot to mention before we go, this whole Grossman thing, the whole thing. I'm sorry to do a little throwback, but I promised my partner I would mention. There is an independent in that race. He's a Democratic committee man, but he's running as an Indy. Because he's pissed off the Tansy Youngblood loss, I think. And I believe he will be on. I hope. I met him. He's a really, really nice guy. Seth. Heather's going to kill me. Heather, if you're listening to this, just put it in the comments. But he's a really nice guy. We interviewed him a couple weeks ago for another organization. And, good luck to him. He's running as an indie, even though he's a Democrat. So we'll have him on NJR to make his case in that district where you've got two pretty, pretty terrible choices. Thanks a lot, Pat. I appreciate you coming on.
More than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always.
No problem. For those of you out there in the audience, if you want your name written on the whiteboard or read on the air, or if you're with an organization that you want to plug for, it's $10 a month to do that as a sustainer. We'll also take more money if you have it, but we're not looking for the big donors. We are looking for working class people who can chip in a couple of bucks to help this thing grow. Check out the website. We've got some great interviews up there. Recent interview with independent candidate Charlie Cradiville, who's running in New Brunswick against the machine, and a number of other things are coming down the road real soon. We are now on Spotify, Google Play, on our website. We got a YouTube channel. We are on Stitcher, and iTunes should be ready any day now. The application's just pending approval. Thanks a lot, everybody, and have a good night.
Have a good one.